From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Stop Chasing, Start Living podcast. My name again is Scott Ernstmeyer, and I have the joy and privilege of serving as the host for this show. And, last time we were together, we had a chance to sit down and talk to Pastor Kunze, Pastor John, JK in his radio name, and had a chance to really talk about what it means to be changed first in your heart before you can really take that next step of generosity and giving, and that challenge that he left us with to try to figure out a way to drown out the noise of life, the noise of the world, and reset your worldview to what God is challenging us to be anchored to. And so hopefully you've had a chance to ponder that since the last time we were together. As a reminder, this show is all about faith and finances, but really it's about doing life together and how we can be an encouragement to one another. And today I'm really excited to talk about the topic of giving as an act of worship, because I believe when it's positioned in this way, you know, our giving can be so much more meaningful as we have a chance to interact with that process. And so today I'm joined by Dr. Doug and Denise Tavis. They're both members of Messiah Lutheran, but my history goes back even before I became a member of this church. And Doug, you probably don't remember this, but I've known you since college. I think you were pretty new coming back to Lincoln, and I jacked up my finger or something. And so that's the first time I remember interacting with you. And then with Denise, Sarah and I joined the church, both loved music. We interacted through worship team, but also choir. We got a chance to be directed by Denise and choir. And then of course, interacting with your kids over the years through the educational world as well has just been a joy. And my experience with both of you, it's just been a privilege to watch your heart for generosity, not only here at Messiah, my role at Lincoln Lutheran, seeing how you're a blessing in that way, but I know you've been super involved and interactive at Concordia as well, and a lot of the things they've been doing in, up in Seward there. So I really appreciated learning from you over the years. And, you know, you guys have been members here at Messiah since you came back to Lincoln, I think, in the early 90s. And I've had a chance to be a part of some pretty cool change on this campus and involved in different leadership roles. But welcome to the show. Super excited that you could join today. And I guess I would punt it to you guys and ask you to share a little bit more with the listeners, for those that haven't had a chance to meet you, a little bit more about yourselves.
Well, thanks, Scott. Appreciate that. Was pretty kind introduction. Well, Denise, you want to talk about the family a little bit?
I guess not everyone knows who we are. So no. We did move here in the early 90s. At the time, we had, three kids. And he started at what was then Lincoln Orthopedic Center, and our family grew a little bit more over the years. We had five kids, joined Messiah, I believe it was in 93, 94. Mm-hmm. The kids went through the Lutheran school system, we adopted a girl, a daughter, when she was 12, same age as our youngest, so that brought us to six. And fast forward, Thomas, the last one, is getting married this awesome. Summer, and we have been blessed with 10 grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That's exciting.
And a lot of them are around, so we do get to see them a lot.
What a blessing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We've been involved with Messiah, you know, pretty much from the time that we got back here. Denise started out, you know, with the music program, and then I think it was within a year, you know, was asked to take on being the choir director.
Oh, wow,
and,
yeah.
And so she did that for 30-some years, I think, or close to that. My involvement has been more with things that would be, administrative kinds mm-hmm. of things, you know, pastoral call committees and mm-hmm. things like that. I did teach Sunday school in this very room.
That's awesome.
For a long time, but Those have been the primary things that we've been involved with here at Messiah.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I think it's important as we kind of position how we're going to talk about generosity. I think each one of us have our own stories with giving and our own stories with money and things. And I think that can be an encouragement to try to help people understand really where we come from in terms of those things. And so I think it would be great if you could kind of share a little bit more about your involvement, interaction with giving and resources, especially early on in your marriage, as you were trying to establish, like, who are we and what do we believe in? What are our goals in this area? And then you can maybe dabble a little bit and kind of even now, like, what's really important to you in that space?
Yeah, we, early on when we got married, we realized we both had a very similar experience, when it comes to, that act of worship, mm-hmm. that is returning some of the generosity God brings to us, mm-hmm. back to Him, and it was a very similar experience. I don't know if you want to.
Well, we both talked about in our families. You know, both of our fathers would sit down usually on Saturday night. It was for ours. My dad always did Saturday night, and he sat down and he wrote that check out, and it was a big deal that, you know, he remembered it on Sunday morning, and, you know, it was something that we knew about. I never knew how much it was for, but mm-hmm. but it was very much a part of his process of preparing, it seemed, for worship, to have that. And so, you know, that he had his, you know, the same experience, and I think entering into the marriage then, we both had that same example, and we had some pretty, you know, a lot of people have pretty rough first years, but we were literally living below the poverty line for a couple of years. Yeah. So we did, I was working in a church again, and we did give, but it was pretty minimal, and it was mm-hmm. pretty tough. And even all throughout residency, it was still pretty, you know, pretty tough.
Sure.
But, you know, it was always a blessing to be able to, you know, to give what we could and what we had and the, you know, as much as we could. We were always blessed by that, I would say.
Yeah. When Denise and I got married, we were living in Omaha, and actually the place we lived is a condemned building now. And so it was in pretty rough shape when we lived there. But it was the best we could do. And Denise worked like 4 jobs, and I did, you know, what I could. I was in medical school, but then when we got to Kentucky, we again didn't have very much. My first 5 years of being a physician, my salary went from something like $18,000 a year to $26,000 a year in that 5-year time frame.
Yeah.
And so Denise was working her tail off and mm-hmm. things. And, but so we didn't have a lot of cash, you know, kinds of things. But what we could do was, again, work at the church mm-hmm. that we were involved with. And so we were youth directors at our church and along with another couple. And it was a, just like any of these other things that you give, mm-hmm. whether it's with your time or whether it's your pocketbook or your brain or mm-hmm. whatever it is, you're the one who gets the blessing back. Yeah. I mean, every Amen. Single time it turns out that way.
That's awesome. I think sometimes within church settings, I'm thinking big church right now, there's just a struggle for how best to teach what it means to be a good steward and what giving looks like. And I almost think sometimes people have to find it on their own for themselves more than we actually maybe do a great job of teaching it within the bigger church. Where have we missed in that space over the years, or how could we be doing that better so that we're preparing people to really understand what this act of worship is all about?
Yeah. I love telling this story. When I was in sixth grade, I was in St. John's Lutheran School out in Seward. And as part of being in the school system, we were able to do all of our confirmation studies as mm-hmm. part of our regular classwork, mm-hmm. you know, for those of us who were at school. Anyway, my religion teacher was absolutely influential in this whole process. He was an art teacher, and one of the things that he did on the side was he would do artwork that people would commission him to do. And I can remember him telling the stories of how he and his family would be backed up against it financially. And out of the blue, somebody would bring a commission to him. And he'd be able to, you know, work on that and make some extra money on the side. But he absolutely taught every one of us in that room how important it was to, and he used the tithe as a very, mm-hmm. you know, the very, very strict definition of a tithe, that you couldn't outgive God, mm-hmm. because every time that they would, you know, be in a situation where they thought, well, we probably better not tithe because we're not going to have enough money, another commission would come in.
Wow.
And that was just so influential to me. And so I think as the church, you know, the church is all of us people. Mm-hmm. I think we as parents need to be teaching our kids at a very early age. I mean, if I could figure it out when I was in sixth grade, you know, and Denise and I could watch our folks, you know, write that check out every week. You know, we can do that. Mm-hmm. And our kids, they want that education. Yeah. They want to know why.
Yeah.
And maybe as a church, maybe that's what we've missed, mm-hmm. is that we've been shy about saying, parents, teach your kids.
Right.
Or teachers, teach your classroom, mm-hmm. about this. It's not embarrassing to talk about money. Right. Jesus talked about money more than probably as much as he talked about anything else,
yep,
you know,
yep.
And I'm sure some theologian can come up with the actual numbers, mm-hmm. of times that he did, but I think we should not be shy about it. Mm.
And I think what you said there, just about the fact that if we don't, that next generation, they have a whole kind of space that they're missing in terms of their opportunity in discipleship, yeah. and how they interact with God as a Christian and all those kinds of things. There's a whole piece missing to the puzzle. And I think that's sometimes what we really forget is, like, when you think about legacy as to, like, what am I leaving my children? What have they learned from me? That's a space where we can have a pretty big influence and impact. So when you think about specifically giving as an act of worship, I'd love for each of you to kind of share about, like, what does that actually mean to you if you're trying to make that simple for somebody to really understand, like, when we use that phrase, giving as an act of worship, what does that mean to you?
And I think a lot of, I guess it's Psalm 139, how God knows us and he knows every thought, every action before we do it. He, mm-hmm. made us in our mother's womb, all of that. And just the wonder of everything that God has provided, mm-hmm. you know, not just for us and for our family, but, you know, we live in the country. I have the blessing of being able to see nature and then to turn around, you know, it's just being in awe, mm-hmm. of God. And, you know, I can't not praise him. Mm. And then when you're giving what he's, you know, it's almost like you're not giving up anything. You're just giving him back, mm-hmm. what he's given you. And it kind of is that full circle of, man, you give it to me. I just want to give it back, mm-hmm. because you've blessed me so much. And so it's just, you know, praising God. And And, you know, sometimes it just feels very personal, you know, mm-hmm. very personal too.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes for me, being a musician, I love to write songs. Writing a song, to me it's not giving of money, but it's putting into words, something that I think he's blessed me with, to hopefully, you know, bless other people and share with other people, to show what God means to all of us. Mm. So
that's awesome. How about you, Doug?
I think a little bit about Abraham. when I think about the act of worship. So Abraham, or God tells Abraham, okay, let's take Isaac. You're going to sacrifice him. Mm. You're going to commit the ultimate act of worship to me by sacrificing your own son. And in that, he's testing Abraham's trust of him. That's kind of what I think God challenges us with in worship all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, do you really trust me that my son died for your sins and that you're going to go to heaven absolutely unequivocally? Mm-hmm. Do you really trust me with that? Do you trust me with your time? Do you trust me with your children? Do you trust me with your finances? And when we trust God, that's worship. Mm.
And I think everything in our culture today says we need to really rely on ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
More than trusting in God.
That's the challenge.
And as I pondered this too today, I think what jumped out to me is, you know, that journey as a Christian. You know, you mentioned music. My early walk of really digging into my faith with Christ and in college, because music had always been important to me anyway, it allowed me to have this avenue to interact with God through Christian music. And I'm almost embarrassed to even say some of the artists from back then, because it's such a dating process from that perspective. But just you know, Phillips Craig and Dean, is they had a couple of really cool songs that, and when you take the time to like pull out of the world and all that noise that the world's throwing at us as to, you know, who's in charge and all that kind of stuff, and let the music speak through words and that process, for me, that was always a way I could. God, I would say, was through that experience for me, breaking down all my walls and getting like kind of raw and authentic with him. And I think when I think about giving as an act of worship, I think it's kind of an ultimate way of saying, God, none of this is mine. I don't matter in this equation. You do. I matter to you, but my selfishness, like, you're setting all that stuff aside in whatever you're doing in worship, whether it's singing, it's positioning. God gets positioned in the first position in that right. process. And I think that trust is an acknowledgement of that. Like, God, it's yours anyway. You've given it to me, and I'm asking you to like take care of me through this. I know you will. Here you go. Right. And there's just this release, maybe even to the stress of life, when you say, God, you got it anyway, instead of trying to hold on to all that control, which is our human nature all the time anyway.
Well, Denise reminded me the other day that there's discussion of, you know, what are opposites, and the opposite of love being selfishness, mm-hmm. Really, as opposed to, you know, hate.
Right.
But that selfishness is really the opposite of love. Mm-hmm. And if you can go through all that in your human relationships, but if you think about that, and the opposite of love of God, absolutely, it has to be the height of selfishness.
Amen.
To not be willing to give back to God, who's given you everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, what higher degree of selfishness can there be?
Yeah.
You know?
And the world is teaching us that in so many different ways of get more, save up, make sure you have enough. You know, get the new house, all those things really pour into that and cause us to have that, you know, that kind of position. I know one of the things that, that as you think about giving as an act of worship to God, a lot of times people think of worshiping God. It always happens on Sunday morning, and that's when worship takes place. And really, it's not really what worship is supposed to be all about in so many different ways. And so you guys plug into a lot of different places in terms of, returning to God and doing his work through different ministries. How would you talk about that kind of giving? You know, it's not on a Sunday morning. It isn't your tithe. It's being excited about what God's doing in a ministry that's not necessarily even connected to your church. What does that look like as an act of worship in that type of giving?
Go ahead.
Well, you're going to talk about the Bring Up Boys. Start with that.
Right? Yeah, start with that.
Well, you know, we had a lot of boys and, you know, we had some challenges with that early on. And that was about the time that Dobson's book, Bringing Up Boys, came out. Okay. And we decided, well, you know, we had just kind of started, we heard of Focus on the Family mm-hmm. and listened to a few episodes. So we got that and it was a VHS series, you know, and kind of shared that a little bit and went through that. And it was extremely helpful, you know, to us. And then over the years, we just kind of had our ears tuned to different things and went through the adoption, you know, and there mm-hmm. were some resources and some things through that as well. And had the opportunity to actually go to the campus mm-hmm. and were kind of blown away by what they were all doing in terms of, you know, saving unborn children, helping people, you know, do adoptions, getting kids mm-hmm. out of the foster care system, saving marriages. Mm-hmm. Now yeah. a huge thing is saving yeah. marriages, and it's incredible, you know, what they're accomplishing through that. You know, just all the things that, you know, obviously we're very strong family people, mm-hmm. and we think that, you know, the family is God's design with a mother mm. and with a mother and a father, and that is definitely under attack.
Yes.
And so to see someone fighting so hard for that is really encouraging. So yeah. so we're just kind of drawn in, and we just, you know, felt like we wanted to, you know, work where God was already working. Mm. So we've gotten to know some people there and have some involvement with them there.
That's great.
It's one of the things. And then also some of the local things that support the same thing, you know, Crisis Center and mm-hmm. What's the place out on
Christian Heritage?
Christian Heritage. Yeah. What am I missing? Friendship Home. Friendship There's some Home. Other things yeah. like that. Yeah.
yeah. In town. Yeah, I think you know, Scott, your ministry life, you know, you've been involved with ministry, you know, throughout your professional right. career. And, you know, there's real blessings about being involved with that as well. Somebody like me, I don't do ministry like you define it that way mm-hmm. in on an everyday basis. You could say my interaction with people, that's maybe a different sure, thing. But, sure. you know, you look for ways that you can do ministry through others when you're in a situation where, you know, you're not necessarily doing it yourself. And so, like, Focus on the Family, it's a national ministry, mm-hmm. Samaritan's Purse, you know, another national ministry. Right. They're doing stuff that we really couldn't even sniff it being right. able to help with that, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, or do those things, physically do those things. So it's a way that we can do ministry through that organization. Mm-hmm. And, it's so encouraging mm. when you do that,
right.
Lincoln Lutheran, mm-hmm. you know,
education.
Supporting the teachers mm-hmm. there. Concordia University, you know, these are just kind of things that are coming up that we're just very integrally involved
yeah.
with. And it's really a way of just saying, okay, you know, again, God, you're doing stuff with these mm-hmm. people, you know, let's support that,
right.
you know?
Right.
And so, you're right. It's different than everything. It's different than what you do right here at your local church, mm-hmm. but it is still ministry.
Yeah.
It's still trusting God and saying, okay, you know, you've led us to this.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Okay, here,
yeah.
let's do this.
Yeah, that, you know, he's placed the resources you have in your hands, and you guys in some ways get to have fun figuring out how to help other people out through that.
It is fun.
It's very others focused.
Yeah.
Which I think is what God calls us to, and yet that selfish side of us wants to, you know, grip it on, hold on to it. But there's such a blessing when we get a chance to be others focused and see the impact it has, in their lives. And, you know, as I think about, giving as an act of worship, I think maybe one final question I'd ask you guys today is like, what do you believe, you know, to really be in a worshipful position with God really is to me is a surrendering. It's a letting go of, specifically in the space of giving, what do you think stands in people's way of seeing that as an act of worship, or maybe even being prepared for it to be an act of worship? What's the gap that that people might be encouraged to figure out a way to get across?
I think it's just the realities of life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's if I don't give this money to the church, or if I don't give that time to the church, you know, and I when I say the church, I mean God, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Then I can use it for this. I can use this time for this other thing. And the world, you know, around us, the culture around us is, you know, totally encouraging of that. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a sponge. It's going to take it.
Absolutely. But God says that we are to be in this world, not of this world.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so our first priority has to be that relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the long-winded answer to what's mm-hmm. holding people back.
Yeah.
And to be blunt about it, it's that you maybe don't really want to have that relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Maybe that scares you. Mm-hmm. It certainly scared me.
That process of again, a full surrender, through your walk as a Christian, that's a scary proposition,
yeah.
Especially if it's new to you. That's a very scary proposition to say, all right, Lord, peel back all the layers of the onion. I'm ready for you to do your work. It's pretty hard. Would we want to fight and be in control? Because ultimately, you're saying I'm letting go of all the control.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember some very distinct times in my life where, you know, I went exactly the opposite direction and said, "No, mm-hmm. I will not. You can't make me." And you know, thankfully, He's very merciful and He's willing to take us back.
Yeah. Any thoughts on your end, Denise, to that?
I think it's just really related. We were, kind of talking about this at one point, but, you know, the opposite of love is, selfishness, but then there's kind of this other opposite. You kind of draw back to that. For me, it's humility. Mm-hmm. You know, God seems to use humility a lot, for me. And, you know, the other side of that too is, you know, is pride in a way too. You know, you kind of go back and forth between these two extremes. And I think our pride can get in the way a lot too, especially, you know, if we're just, we're starting out and we're working hard and everything. And, you know, I remember one time, with my voice, you know, people saying, "Oh, you have a nice voice," and you know, I remember thinking to myself, "Well, I worked really hard at this," you know, and you know, not acknowledging that, you know, that's, you know, we all have things that God, you know, puts in us, right. And that is something that He put in me that I love to use, and I did work mm-hmm. at it, but I wouldn't have it if He didn't give it to me.
Amen.
You know, so taking away that pride aspect, mm-hmm. and no, it's all God's. You know, it doesn't matter what I did with it. It's His 100%.
So I think maybe to kind of wind this down, what I hear and sense in you both in this process is it's just too easy in today's world to be self-centered, to be selfish, to be self-focused, and not trust that God has it in control, but really rely on ourselves. And when we can peel that part back and open that door, there's that opportunity to position that giving process of just letting go and not having to have it be yours, but ultimately that recognition that it's God's and it's something He's given us anyway.
Yeah.
Well, as we close up today, then maybe that's our challenge for the listeners is to find yourself into that space of, you know, what areas of my life, do I still feel like I've got maybe a selfish hold on, specifically, you know, in that act of worship, is there anything that keeps me from, from fully releasing in that act of worship, and what does that look like? So I think we're going to, today is our Start Living Challenge. We're gonna pray that out. So we'll pray for the listeners. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this conversation today, the chance to really ponder what it means to worship you. There's a lot of things that the word worship means, as it brings to mind in the heart of a believer. And, you know, sometimes giving and writing a check or placing cash in a box or an envelope, maybe for some doesn't necessarily feel like worship. But I think a lot of times that's tied to the fact that we're maybe still have a little bit of a grip on whatever that is that we're giving. And Lord, I just pray that our Start Living Challenge today can be to relaxing that grip and finding ourselves in a position of trust, where we can say, God, this is yours. We can really try to peel back from that selfish pull and recognize that when we really let go and we genuinely trust, there's this joy that you work in our hearts. And then we have a chance to actually see what you're doing through that gift and the impact that it's making. And Lord, then you work in our hearts a completely different way. So Lord, we just thank you. We praise you for the gift of your son and the fact that we even get to talk about all this stuff in light of Easter, which we just celebrated not too long ago. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, we encourage all our listeners to stop chasing, start living. We can't wait to be with you again sometime soon.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.